Hello, I'm Sarah Abel and welcome to the Marriage Challenge podcast brought to you each month by Care for the Family. It's great to have you with us. And today I'm delighted to be joined by Harry and Kate Benson, who are going to talk about when a marriage is dangling by a thread and what it takes to bring it back from the brink. They'll share firsthand how they faced up to such a challenge and their journey to becoming a happily married couple again. But before we get started, let me introduce them. Harry and Kate have been married for 28 years. Harry is the research director for the Marriage Foundation and the author and creator of Let's Stick Together, Care for the Family's Relationship Course for New Parents. Kate is a brilliant cook and used to run her own cookery school in Bristol, and they have six children and live in Somerset. Harry and Kate, welcome. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you.
What we'd love to know, what we ask all our couples on the Marriage Challenge, is how did the two of you meet and get together?
Well, that's a story and a half. I think if I give you the short version, I ended up at Greenwich Naval College one night. I think it was Valentine's night for a dance down in the crypt. And I went with somebody that I didn't realise was rather boring, and I met Harry by the door.
That's it. I was a young Navy pilot, just back from the Falklands War, and very much single and not expecting great things, but I went to this party and there was this beautiful girl and I pretended to be someone completely different. I think probably because I'd had one or two too many by that stage. But I was bowled over by Kate, and it was pretty much, certainly for me, it was love at first sight. And so I then had to go and pursue her afterwards. Something like that.
Brilliant. Lovely to hear how you both met. So let's take a look now at today's topic, which is coming back from the brink of separation. And I want to start with an extract, Harry, from your book, Let's Stick Together. Let me just read this paragraph. Our wedding day was a glorious English summer day in June. On such a perfect day, the prospect of anything less than a fabulous life together would have seemed laughable to us. Our marriage was going to be great, and yet within a few short years, we'd gradually become more flatmates than friends. Sure, we had a good life and a lot of fun together, but 8 years on and with two young children in tow, Kate confronted me with the reality that a good life was not enough. She needed me to be her friend, and I wasn't. We were perched precariously on the brink of separation. Now, that's a very candid account of how tough things became between you both. Can you perhaps paint a picture of how you both got to that stage?
Gosh. Well, it's... I think over the first 8 years of our marriage, I probably knew that Harry was quite emotionally closed. He was an extremely decent, loyal, honourable, lovely, intelligent man, but very unable to understand his feelings or to have any feelings or to be able to talk about feelings. And I felt quite lonely in my marriage, and I didn't know how to tell him that. He felt very criticised if I tried. I think we just didn't know how to speak to each other, and he simply didn't know that I needed a friend.
I think I was a boarding school boy. My parents had split when I was very young, and the way I'd coped with Dad running off and then Mum sending me to boarding school for all the best reasons, I was very closed. I just decided that the best way to deal with this, having no parents around, was to shut down. It's better not to feel. And I think I probably spent all of my childhood not really being very much fun to be around, being very insular, being incredibly independent and therefore quite capable. So I could do lots of things. I was very good at what I did. You know, I was a good, very good Navy pilot, for example. But I was pretty rubbish at relationships. I had no idea really what a good marriage looked like. And if someone had asked me to describe it at that stage when Kate confronted me, I would have had no idea what to say. And in fact, somebody did ask me after she did confront me, you know, what do you think intimacy is all about? And I had not a clue. I mean, I couldn't describe it at all. I wanted it, but I didn't know what it looked like.
You said there, Harry, that Kate confronted you. How did that happen, Kate? How did you bring up the topic with Harry?
Well, it's... I think the sort of the horrendous challenges is that I fell for somebody else, and I suddenly realised that my goodness, somebody could I could really love somebody. Somebody could really love me. I felt desperate for it, but I didn't want particularly to have it with somebody else. I wanted to have it with my own husband. So I challenged him. I said, "This is happening. What are you going to do about it? And so he, that's how you suddenly found out. Mm.
It came as a bolt from the blue. I had no idea. I didn't see it coming at all. And it was an enormous shock. And I hadn't a clue what to do about it. And all I knew was that I needed to do something to try and keep it together so that I wouldn't lose the kids. But I had absolutely no idea what. And so I was completely stuck.
So what moved you from being stuck? I mean, obviously you're here. So, many years later.
I wasn't that stuck, obviously.
So I'm presuming something shifted for you. So what changed in that period? That
I think we got tremendous help from friends. We had a lot of friends and support, I did, through the church, and they were very happy to come and help us and to be to get the truth out. I had support because I was in a terrible place. I was thinking I was in love with somebody else. It was grim. So we had support, we had friends, and Harry, it was suggested that we go to get some marriage counselling.
It was suggested that I get some one-to-one counselling because I was the one who was completely closed and had no clue what was going on. And I went to counselling really very much against my will, but always because I wanted to keep my marriage, I wanted to make my marriage work. And it was an extraordinary experience, and I very quickly opened up. I had a brilliant counsellor who helped me get in touch with my feelings and all that stuff, which I didn't even know I had. And I got angry and I got upset and all those things, and I started to feel stuff. But that wasn't enough, was it?
No.
I mean, I opened up, and then my counsellor said, come on, Harry, why don't you bring Kate in for a two-on-one session? And I thought, yeah, great, okay, about time, let's try and sort stuff out. And so we went in for the session, and in the middle of the session, Kate burst into tears because she said, our marriage is no better than it was before, and it's almost worse, you know. And then my counsellor, my supposed friend, turns around to me and she says, Harry, do something! And I hadn't the faintest idea what to do, and I can still remember it to this day, being rooted to the spot, thinking, I just don't know what to do. I didn't know to reach out. Obvious stuff. I didn't put my hand on her knee or something like that, or go and give her a hug, or give her a tissue or anything. I was just completely frozen. And I ended up going back to work after this session, and Kate went home. You know, I mean, we were a complete mess, and that for me was the bottom of the pit.
I can't remember it as well, but I think it was after that I wrote the letter.
Is that right? Yeah.
I think I just thought, well, this is just it. I'm just so fed up. And I wrote a job spec.
You did.
I wrote a job spec of what it was like working for Harry as his wife. And, I talked about, the perks, and I talked about, what you earn and the joint bank account and the fact that I could get use of the car and any holidays? No. But we went on nice holidays, but no actual time off. It was just a fairly negative picture of something that could look really, really lovely.
Mm.
And I just left it on your pillow, I think.
Mm. I got back from work, and I don't know whether Kate pointed me to the letter or whatever, but I've still got the letter, actually. It's almost too scary to read. But it has this job spec, and then it ends with this awful bit which says, and the one thing I don't have in our marriage is friendship, and I don't know if I ever will, and anyway, who cares? And it was those last two words really sort of sent a spike into me, and I thought, my goodness, what have I done? And I dropped to my knees and I said, Kate, you've got no reason to believe that I'm going to change, but I will. And I think that was the turning point of the whole thing. That was when I made the shift from thinking I want to make this marriage work for my kids, which is actually really a selfish thing because it was really for me. I made the switch to the point where I knew I had to make this work for you. And
I think that was the fundamental turning point. You've missed one little bit, and that was that I think that your view of marriage from your experience of your life, your childhood and everything that happened, you were a provider. You were doing very well in that respect.
Yeah.
You were a provider. You were honest and honourable.
Yeah.
You're a good man. And I don't think you knew there was anything else to it.
No.
So I think there was ignorance involved. And I think the point when you got that letter or whatever happened to you, I think you realised there was a more to it.
Yes.
Than just that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people's marriages have this sort of area of ignorance.
Yeah.
Where men perhaps don't know, or women perhaps don't know what relationships should look like.
Yeah.
And after that turning point, then yeah. What changed in the relationship? What did it look like for you both after?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's one thing to change your attitude. It's another thing to...
Walk it out,
yeah. Oh. Because, I mean, don't forget, Kate had had 8 years of negligible friendship or vanishing friendship. We'd had a lot of fun. I mean, we lived a very good life out in Asia, and life was good. But we just had nothing for, you know, as a relationship, we'd had nothing for years. And so it was all very well me saying, I'm going to change. But of course, any time I fell short in any way whatsoever, it was there, I told you so. Mm. And so I was on a hiding to nothing. So that mental shift had to come along with a great deal of perseverance that I had to say, right, I'm going to stick at this no matter what it takes. And I'm going to make this thing work. And eventually, I mean, about 6 months down the line, we ended up going on a marriage course. And it was a whole weekend marriage course called Marriage Encounter. During the course of the weekend, we got to the stage where it was a real roller coaster ride, because we were discovering each other for the first time. Well, I was certainly discovering Kate. And we started to learn how to be married, or I did anyway. And I feel confident in saying that I fell in love with Kate for the first time on that weekend. And that weekend date is still... is on the inside of my it's engraved on the inside of my wedding ring, which I didn't have at that point, actually, because I didn't have a wedding ring then, because you didn't in those days. Lots of men didn't. And so I've got our original wedding, and then I've got that weekend's wedding date, our remarriage date, in there, because that was really the start of something new. And it was amazing from there. And I think we've had lots and lots of ups and downs since then, but we've got to a stage where we know how to get out of the downs, and we know how to spend more time in the ups. And so I think what we've got is a pretty decent, happy marriage, but I certainly wouldn't call it stable, because it, you know, it goes up and it goes down and it goes up and it goes down, and we get a bit better at it, that's all. But we're pretty secure in it.
And to anyone who's listening who perhaps is back in that place of feeling like they're on the brink, or feeling hopeless in their relationship, or not seeing a way for it to improve, what would you say to them, or what would you want to say to them?
I think, gosh, it's amazing, because we're talking about a 20-year story here, 20 years since we've rebuilt our marriage.
Mm.
So it's a long road, but if you're married, you've got time. And you have to make it work. So I would always imagine putting a peg right at the end, putting that peg like a tent peg right at the end of your life, and knowing that that's where you're going, and hanging in there. Because I can say now, I've never been happier in my marriage than I am now.
Oh.
Ever, ever. I've never been as happy as I am now.
And
I would
too.
Not have had that if we hadn't kept going.
Mm. That's fantastic. I think the thing I would say is that when you get married and you're deliriously madly in love, and you can't imagine things going wrong, and exactly the reverse is true when you're in the mire, it's impossible to see that it feels like you're underground in a dark cave, and there's just no way out. And you need a friend, you need a couple, ideally, who've lived normal up and down married life, to sit down with you and help you, give you some kind of route map out. And I think that's probably the best starting point for anybody.
I think the difficulty is that when you're in difficulty, in marriage difficulty, relationship difficulty, you don't know where to turn. Mm. And there's the classic thing people think about is relate. If you don't want to go to relate, what else is there? We just don't know. It's not on the tip of our tongues. Mm. So I think, Harry, you're right. It's just somebody else who's managed to stay the course. Mm. They've got things to say, and they might be able to just help you one or two steps forward. And that's a good start.
Yeah.
Now, on this podcast, every month we set our listeners a challenge that we can all try over the month to help our relationship. Is there a challenge that you would like to set our listeners this month?
I'd like you to think on some of the memories of the past. So forget about where you're at right now, because you might be in a place where you feel incredibly hurt and closed. Think on something. Go and look at some photographs, if there are any of that. Just ponder on some of the good memories. And it might just stop you digging deeper right now. It just might just hold you in a place where you can think positive things about your other half.
So spend some time this month looking back, find a memory, ponder it, and share it with each other.
Share
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Look at the photos and talk about it and laugh.
Maybe write
it.
A little note to each other, because perhaps you're at a time when it's difficult to talk. It may be one of you so closed and you have instant reactions to each other's behaviour at the moment. But maybe a little note, a little text, a little message on the pillow about a funny memory or a sweet and happy memory.
Brilliant. That's a lovely challenge. And we hope that you'll all join the challenge and try it at home this month. Do drop by the Care for the Family Facebook page and let us know how you got on. Also, a reminder, you can sign up for the Care for the Family website to receive more news and updates from this podcast. And when you do, you automatically receive a 20% discount off your next purchase from the Care for the Family shop. So do check that out. Well, that's all for this episode. It just leaves me to say, Harry and Kate, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing so honestly about the challenges that you faced and how you came through the other end. Thank you for that. And do join us again next time for another Marriage Challenge. Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Marriage Challenge podcast. For further information about our courses, resources and events, visit us at www.careforthefamily.org.uk.